across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's Monday, October 16th. Another beautiful day up north. Nice to have you along from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, the Civic Media app, podcast, social media, however you got here to the state of Wisconsin Sense. It's nice to have you here as we unpack the news for a Monday morning. Among the topics coming up on tap for this Monday, updates on what's happening in Madison and Washington, D.C., and I wish I had good news to report from either one, but at least I have interesting news to report from both. Starting with Madison, look, the hottest topic that legislators have heard about all year, has been the childcare crisis, that employers are losing good people, that parents who want to work have to stay out of the labor force, that providers who want to care for kids can't make it work. There's a role that can be played here, especially with a record multi-billion dollar surplus. And there's a special session going on right now to maybe address the crisis. And Republicans announced late last week what they're finally going to do about it. And the underwhelming answer is coming up. Also in D.C., Republicans are still without a Speaker of the House, even as emergency aid is needed for some hotspots around the world and solutions are needed for some big problems here at home. It looks like the far right faction of Republicans will try to force a vote tomorrow, maybe, but it won't go well if they do. So we'll have the update on that as well. In our second hour, we'll talk about the misconceptions out there about controversial books in our school libraries and classrooms. Some say it's because of a lack of oversight, but in fact, educators take great care to select age-appropriate material for classes and for recreational reading. So we'll get into that a little bit. We'll have your weatherology forecast looking like a quiet one to start off the week. And then along the way, if you'd like to jump in on these topics or others, here's what you do. If you're listening live across the Civic Media Radio Network, you call us 844-967-2789. If you're watching as part of a live feed, we put the video feed of this radio show up on several Facebook pages. You put a comment there, we'll see it here and maybe put it up on the screen of the live feed and address it as well. If you're shy or it's a low-key question or you've just got some advice, maybe an idea for a guest or topics, then you email us, the email address is radio@upnorthnewswi.com. So many ways to be part of the show. Sam Davison gets to be part of the show simply by pressing a button and turning on his microphone. And I press this button so that people watching on video can see him. Sam is back from his hometown of Ringle. Ringle Harvest Fest is what we had going on there. And what have you got to show for it? Near as I can tell from the video, either you picked up a sweater along the way or did somebody knit you that? What have you got going for a while.
I don't know. I have quite the flannel.
Is that a
collection.
Shawl or
it's a red flannel.
It's a red flannel. Okay. Yeah. Very nice. Okay. So that's not what you did. You get anything at the Ringle Harvest Fest?
I did.
Jamboree?
I got a table for my kitchen. I got a cast iron pan for a whopping $5 and a strainer.
$5 for a cast iron pan?
Yeah, it was a real deal.
Huh. Sure, cast iron? It wasn't like made out of aluminum or something like that?
Yes, yeah, it was cast iron.
Made out of a series of Jiffy Pop tins that have been used
it yesterday and used it for the first time this morning, so yeah.
Oh, how was that?
It was the first time I've cooked on cast iron in like 5 years, so it didn't go great. But
oh, okay.
we'll work up to it.
I was going to say, you practice that, and I love my cast iron skillets so much. I have the thing that I am jonesing to make next that I haven't made yet is mac and cheese. I want to do homemade oven baked mac and cheese in a cast iron skillet. So what I do is I don't have any recipes. I just look all over online, and then I kind of, looking at all the various recipes, kind of cobble together my own. I kind of write down what I think I want to do, and then make it, and then kind of adjust it. And that's my winter comfort food thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So I'm going in for that. How was everything else around Ringel? Was it in fact pretty much vendors and crafts and things? Any other activities?
There was a petting zoo. I got to pet a little tiny pig and some baby bunnies. That was pretty nice.
Aw, that was very nice. Okay, well, good. Well, I'm glad it was a good time. Welcome back down. Hopefully, we'll have a quiet week. You know, the past few weeks have been weird with me traveling. I was traveling to Michigan this weekend, and it'd be nice
just to
settle down. You know, I'm hoping for some nice. Although I was telling Sherry as we were having breakfast this week kind of has a Groundhog's Day week feel to it. Like, I feel like we're going to get the same headlines out of the Middle East, the same headlines out of DC, the same headlines out of Madison all week. And that, look, if we're going to go search for good news on our own this week, if that's what we got to do, we'll bring up some. I saw a note that there's a principal in Brookfield, for example, who's one of the finalists for National Principal of the Year or something. So we're going to go dig that up. I see the Up North News newsletter this morning has some guy called Tim the Tank who's going viral for eating Wisconsin food. So, you know, we're just going to find it where we can get it, right?
Yeah, exactly. I want to hear more about Tim the Tank.
I know. So we'll talk about that as well. And also in the newsletter today, my editorial and cherry picking statistics to falsely claim that voucher schools are superior to public schools when the full evidence shows that that's not the case at all. So get that at upnorthnewswi.com. Hey, wherever you're listening across the state of Wisconsin on this very nice Monday morning, when you're here, you're up north. We'll be back after this. When you dance, feel a good creeping up on you. So just dance, come on. All those things I shouldn't do, but you dance. I don't have any historical or rational reason for playing Justin Timberlake this early on a Monday morning, except to say, like I was telling Sam just now, sometimes you just got to make up your own happy, whether it's the news or the bumper music or, you know, we'll find out what else we're looking at across the Up North News social media platforms and Sherita Booker in just a sec. First, I wanted to tell you the 6 a.m. temperatures around Wisconsin. It is 40 degrees here on Lake Wissota. Madison reports 39. Waukesha reports 43. Over in La Crosse, 40 degrees to start the week here. Wausau's at 38. Wisconsin Rapids down to 35. Green Bay is at 44 degrees. And Hayward is at 45 degrees. The baseball playoffs are underway. The American League Championship Series Game 1 was last night. Houston blanked the Texas Rangers 2-0 to take a 1-0 lead in the ALCS. Game 2 is this afternoon. The National League Championship Series begins tonight with Arizona in Philadelphia. Badger football, that was ugly. A loss to Iowa of 15-6. And the Badgers lost quarterback Tanner Mordecai to a hand injury. Iowa has now beaten Wisconsin in consecutive seasons for the first time since 2008 and 2009. TV cameras showed Mordecai mouthing, "I can't throw," shortly after the play before he headed into the locker room. So the Badgers turned to Brandon Locke, a Mississippi State transfer who had thrown just one career pass before Saturday. He went 15 of 30 for 122 yards with one interception. Their next game is this coming Saturday at Illinois. And in much happier news, the UW of women's volleyball team is now officially off to their best start in school history. In 2020, they got off to a 16-0 start before their first loss, but thanks to a win over the weekend, they are now at 17-0. Best start in school history, another sellout crowd at the Fieldhouse in Madison. And you can bet that's going to happen again this Wednesday night when they take on Ohio State. Now let's visit with Sherita Booker, the social media manager for Up North News. Up North News is more than this fine little radio program. It's a website. It's a daily newsletter. We'll talk to Christina Laurie about that tomorrow. And it's all kind of social media posts all around the interwebs. And Sherita gets the stuff that we produce out to all those various platforms. Sherita, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
Very good. Thanks. Every week at about this time, we sit down with Sherita and we look at what people have been clicking on, reading, watching through all of our various social media posts for the past, you know, week or so. And one of those stories is rather newsy, then the others are a bit more featurey. The news story that people are reading about isn't just that a man with a loaded handgun showed up at the state capitol not long ago, but that he came back. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, so he posted bail after initially showing up with a loaded handgun looking for Tony Evers. He came back with an assault rifle. So people are really concerned about security at the state capitol because it doesn't have metal detectors and screening checkpoints. That post had over 700 likes and comments on our Instagram. Noli the Goalie 1523 commented, maybe he shouldn't be able to post bail after the first incident. And Heather's Favorite Things commented, I first thought this was a post from The Onion. No, Heather, it was actually true.
It was so true, and we've talked about it on the program already, that it is exhibit A almost in the need for red flag laws, that when somebody has firearms and is proven to be a danger to themselves or others, that it should be a little tougher for that person to continue to have their firearms, at least temporarily, while they continue to be a hazard to others. So that news story, if you missed it before, you can look on our social media sites and get some of the details on it. Turning to much lighter news, it's part celebrity news and it's part commerce, because it seems like celebrities are selling, they're making things, they're selling things more all the time. And so you got to get on the road and sell your wares. And the same can be said for Jason Momoa.
Jason Momoa is visiting Waukesha area next Thursday on a tour to promote his vodka brand, Melly, I believe that's how it's pronounced, with his partner, Blaine Halverson. He'll be signing bottles at Costco in New Berlin from 10 to 11:30 a.m. and Total Wine and More in Brookfield from 2:30 to 4 p.m. Yeah, that post had so much engagement.
I'll bet it did. I just want to make sure I clarify for folks. It is this Thursday, October 19th. And again, that's the Costco in New Berlin from starting at 10 a.m. and Total Wine and More in Brookfield from 2:30 onward, coming up on this Thursday. What kind of engagement did this post get?
It had over 200 comments and almost 600 shares. Melanie Eternica tagged her friend and said, let's call in sick that day and go. Her friend then replied, you don't have to twist my arm.
Nice. This is one of those posts where you see comments, of course, but you also see just a lot of people tagging their own friends to say, hey, look at this post. And I don't think Jason's going to be bored. I think the star of Aquaman is going to find some folks waiting.
Definitely. And that's the only reason I'm not going, because I do not want to wait in those lines.
But if you knew you had the chance to meet Jason Momoa one-on-one, you'd go?
Possibly. Yeah. Shake a stand, take a pick.
You know, I would go too, because he just, and again, you never know till you meet a celebrity or somebody, but doesn't he just come off as just such a nice, kind-hearted soul who can play these really tough guy roles?
He does. And I remember, did you see him in Game of Thrones? Did you watch Game of Thrones?
Yes, loved him in it. Yeah.
Loved it. Yeah.
Yep. He was fantastic. So, all right, we've got one more to talk about. Again, every so often, we've got a quintessential Wisconsin story. I already know that tomorrow, when I talk to Christina, we're going to get into cheese curds. But today, when we talk about some of the most read stories on Up North News social media posts, you got to go to the source. It's a story about cows.
Yeah, so the most Wisconsin thing ever happened in Port Washington. A herd of cows escaped from a farm and were casually strolling along a neighborhood. They actually made it home safe, but that post had over 1,000 likes. Most comments were people just laughing, laughing emojis, of course. Curious commented, first flamingos, now cows. What's next for Port Washington? And Port Washington residents, keep your phones ready, because we shall see.
It's true. I mean, you wouldn't be surprised to see unicorns go through at this point. Now, it is worth noting that if they're not your cows, it can be cute. It can be picturesque. I'm watching them right now crossing somebody's front yard. If they leave a surprise on your front yard, that's another matter. And if they are your cows, That is another matter entirely. I know that Sherry has talked about a couple of times when the cows, you know, when there's, you know, the fence comes down or they get around the fence, and then, you know, the farmers and their families, their kids have to go out. It might be raining at the time, and it's suddenly not so fun when it's your own cows.
Yeah, I could imagine.
Yeah, that much I have learned. But yeah, if they're not your cows, put it up on social media. You're sure to get a connection there. Again, you can find all of these on social media by just looking for Up North News WI on most of the platforms, Up North News on TikTok, and Sherita Booker puts all those together. Thanks, Sherita. Have a great day.
Thanks, Pat. You too.
All right, let's unpack the news here at 844-967-2789 if something is on your mind. I'm going to start in the legislature where, again, we're actually holding two sessions at once. There is the regular fall session, but Governor Tony Evers called lawmakers into special session as well, something that a governor can do to say, I'd like you guys to come together and debate and maybe pass this bill or work on these ideas. And what Governor Evers did, and we've talked about it throughout the second half of summer, was to look at things that did not get done in the state budget bill and to say, okay, can we try again to get these things done? And one of them, again, is the childcare crisis, something we've talked about repeatedly on this program because it is very real. It is part of a workforce bill that the governor has introduced for the special session that not only deals with childcare and helping parents and providers with child care, but taking care of some other issues that address worker shortages in some key areas. The Senate Republican leader, Devin Lemahieu, on Friday put forward the amendments for Governor Evers' bill. And when I say amendments, what I mean is he replaced the governor's entire bill. And instead of a workforce package, it is now a $2.5 billion tax cut, which again is aimed at the second highest tax bracket in the state. In other words, again, something Governor Evers has already vetoed. And so again, in that Groundhog's Day movie mode, Devin Lemahieu is waking up and trying to do the same thing that he and other Republicans have tried to do over and over again. And that is to do nothing or nearly nothing about the child care crisis and saying, you know, if we just give some of those parents a tax break and if we give the wealthy in Wisconsin a tax break, that will fix things. It would never fix things. And again, the jig has been up on Reaganomics for a long time now, but some people are still in denial and thinking that if you just cut taxes for the rich, it'll somehow trickle down to us. And some of those people, like Devin Lemahieu, are still in elected office right now. And so the legislature will meet this week again. And I would love to tell you that by the end of the week, they will have come together and tried to do something substantive about child care and other workforce issues. It does not appear that that's going to be happening at all. They're doing what they can, including this new replacement bill from the Republicans, includes more money for parents who want to send their kids to voucher schools, private religious schools. Something that is the basis of a lawsuit that was filed last week by the Minocqua Brewing Company and some other Wisconsin residents to finally have a court review the voucher school program in a substantive way, not the way it was done a couple of decades back when voucher schools were a relatively new, small, experimental program. But now, as the behemoth that it is, that is taking significant funds from the public schools, that a court might finally show the way that this voucher school program violates the state constitution. The vouchers are currently funded in part through reductions in state aid that would have otherwise gone to public schools and then public schools have the option to look like the bad guys, to impose property taxes to make up the difference. By and large, the local taxpayer does not know how much voucher schools are costing. Wisconsin taxpayers are paying for two parallel school systems in this state. One that significantly benefits people whose families were already going to private school. This wasn't pulling them out of public school, putting them into private schools that were somehow better. A lot of the help went to families whose kids were already in voucher schools. And the voucher school tests, as we've talked about, show not only that they're not better than public schools, but in many ways fall far short. And yet we're going to get more of the same from Republicans in the Capitol this week. Kristen Lyerly joins us to unpack the news further and talk about the weekend right after this. You're up north.
Let's turn off the phone. I don't want to go to work today or even put my makeup on.
Oh, if only. But sadly, somebody had to put on his TV makeup and come do a video version of a radio show. And Kristen Lyerly came along. And at some point, you know, hooky sounds really good. But there's not like first day of the brewer season or some other great excuse. We need a great excuse for just like the quintessential Monday hooky day.
Boy, wouldn't that be nice.
It would be. I would be. Kristen joins us from somewhere in the great Northwest, where she continues to help patients in both hither and yon. And it's funny, I've got so many, you know, small things along with a few news headlines to bounce off of you. You were the one saying that you actually kind of wanted to mention the punter for the Iowa Hawkeyes. And I was a little dubious of that.
And yet, you're like, sure, why?
Sure, is it, you know, what, why? And several headlines talk about punter Torrey Taylor was the MVP of the game for Iowa in the win over Wisconsin. And sure enough, it talks about he already had a great reputation as a punter anyway, with an average of 48 yards per punt. He averaged 50 yards on Saturday with two punts of at least 60 yards, and he put so many of them inside the opponent's 20-yard line. So, yeah, for being one part of a larger football team, the kid knows what he's doing.
They have an incredible defense. I mean, it was a hard game to watch. You all know if you watched the game, it was just defense. There was so little offense, and we're just so banged up. But the punter was the bright spot. And actually, the Iowa folks have T-shirts that say things like, we love our punter. I mean, he's like a celebrity in Iowa City.
Well, I'm looking at just one social post from the Big Ten Network here says, yes, this is a minute 40 highlight reel just of the punter. Torrey Taylor is that good at what he does. So I guess I'll have to look at that during the next break here. Meanwhile, the Badgers, you know, lost their quarterback and appear to have just basically lost their way. I mean, they've got the new coach, but it sure doesn't feel like they're gelling just yet.
Well, I mean, they're so hurt. You know, Malusi's out. Braylon Allen is just such a tank, but you could tell that he wasn't playing full strength. Mm-hmm. They just really just didn't have that spark, unfortunately.
So we said from the start here that my concern this week was that we were going to have a lot of same old stories out of Madison and DC and Israel and other places, so that we were going to do more to try to remind people of the good that's happening out there. And I hinted at it before that a Brookfield East High School principal is up for Principal of the Year. His name is Andrew Farley. He is Wisconsin's 2023 Principal of the Year, and now he's one of three finalists being considered for National Principal of the Year. And I think for all of those stories, all the stories that are contentious, and rightly so, about education these days, from, you know, the money that does or doesn't come to schools, the controversy over books and things like that, we need to remind ourselves sometimes that in many ways, in large part, students go through their day to day. And if you've got a really great principal, that's a really nice addition to your learning experience.
You need that. I mean, every school needs a great leader and a great group of leaders and teachers who are well supported. That's, you know, if you've got a functional group of grown-ups in the room, that's how our students learn best. And everybody's got a role to play there. Everybody has a part in this. You were talking about schools earlier, Pat, in this obligation to elevate society. I mean, schools are the foundation of our communities, don't you think?
Oh, without a doubt. And that's why, again, to see these constant attacks on it. Though I will say, again, we've been sounding the alarm for a bit here. Other people have as well. And I don't know that I've got it right in front of me. Oh, yes, here I do, from Salon, an online magazine, that in more districts, parents are fighting back. They've heard of Moms for Liberty, this right-wing group that is, you know, an AstroTurf group claiming to be grassroots, but is trying to advance a far-right agenda in these schools, and that parents in more and more school districts are getting sick of, you know, what the way that their teachers are getting trashed, the classes are getting trashed, the principals are getting trashed, and they're rightly starting to clap back and, you know, show support for their schools. If their school board has been taken over by the far right, they show up and they monitor what goes on there. And that it's having an impact, which is really, again, getting back to the mission of what we're doing at Civic Media, what we're doing at Up North News, and that is getting people to get involved. It's not easy. It's not always fun, but it's necessary to be an integral part of your community.
Well, and people, I think, understand that with that engagement, that's how we change things. And they recognize that this is a long game. Moms for Liberty, all of this fear mongering and ugliness, it's really painful and it's loud and it's acute, like it's hurting right now. But we understand, those of us who have kids in the schools, who are paying attention, who are trying to build community, that this is something that is going to happen forever. And we're so invested that we've got to put that time in, not just now, not just when this acute pain is happening, but over the long run. So yeah, I mean, we're seeing this where my kids go to school in De Pere, where there are some school board members who are, they're frankly vicious. I mean, they're hostile. The priorities that they're putting forward are not community building priorities. And the community is pushing back and the students are standing up and pushing back. It's going to take a while and it's going to take that constant pressure, but that's what we need to do as a community, come together, solve problems, and just support each other.
Yeah, it's a very good point. And I've said before, and we'll say again, that right about now is a very good time for people who are even somewhat, maybe kind of sort of thinking about running for school board in their community. This would be a really good time because you can start collecting signatures on nominating petitions to get on the ballot sometime in December, if memory serves. And
I think it's December 1st.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's coming up. And so talk to friends, talk to neighbors. There are groups out there that help do candidate training for school boards, state legislature, other offices. And we'd love to be able to get you in touch with the resources that help you be a more active member of your community. Hey, switching gears to something that I noticed on our road trip last weekend, heading out to Kalamazoo, we frequently stop at Quick Trips and noticed at one of them a sign that said, "Our apologies, our rewards system is down," where you kind of swipe your card and you collect points for gas or whatever. And I didn't think much of it, but then as soon as I got back in the car, I see a headline that says, "It appears," and no company ever really wants to admit it, so you don't know if it's true or not, but it seems like Quick Trip might be the latest of several companies around the country and around Wisconsin caught up in a ransomware attack. And it's one of those things that we don't want to talk about very much because you're pretty helpless. There's other things that you can call law enforcement on, or you can, you know, help settle. Ransomware is one of those things where you just, it's modern day quicksand is what it is. If you step in it, you know, you're toast.
How do you avoid it in this day and age?
You don't. You look at like the Fox 11 in Green Bay notes that both Prevea and HSHS hospitals were victims of some kind of a cybersecurity incident. And as you know, from a healthcare standpoint, especially with all those electronic medical records, I mean, instead of writing on a clipboard, you're basically using just kind of a handheld computer, a tablet or something like that. And, you know, just you're lucky going to see a patient and you see a test pattern on there or something.
That was a nightmare when that happened. It like shut down the hospital system for, I don't know, a couple days. Like everybody in Green Bay was talking about it. But like as a human being who is on the internet, there's just, I remember, you know, like a decade ago when people were concerned about, should I put my credit card online so I can purchase something? Do you remember that early
yes,
on?
Yes, oh,
you were
of course.
Worried about it?
Yeah.
And now it's like, well, you can't avoid it. So you just have to be ready for when it happens and just be really smart about, you know, having a process in place and protecting your identity as much as you can.
Yeah. You know, getting back to the quick trip aspect of it, and this is more about the road trip. And I've been taking a lot of road trips. We visited our older daughter in Idaho a couple of weeks back, our younger daughter in Kalamazoo this past weekend, a lot of driving. The volatility in gas prices, because you do a lot of driving yourself.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I don't mean like the real extremes, like up in the mountains of Idaho where, you know, it's many, many, many miles between towns. They charge $5.09 a gallon because they can. If you run out of gas up there, you got no other options. I'm just talking the volatility going recently in the past week or two, it seems, from between $3.79 to $3.19. I don't know how anybody keeps up, and I still don't know why after all these years we can't do a better job of avoiding being gouged by oil companies.
Do you use an app or do you like look at Google and look at the current prices and pick out your gas stations that way?
I not locally so much. There's not a ton of difference and we know which place, you know, tends to be a little bit lower. But yeah, when traveling, like yesterday, as we were getting set to leave Michigan, we thought, okay, we're about to be driving through Chicago and all that area. So I just do it off of Google Maps, which is not always exact, but it's usually pretty close. And it turns out that we're like, oh, the lowest gas price is about a mile and a half from here. Let's go. And so there we are on the mean streets of whatever town in Michigan we are at, right on the border, trying to find this one gas station. And clearly we weren't the only one because there was almost a line out to the street for people waiting to get into the gas station. And the same in Little Hixton, just north of Black River, between Black River Falls and Eau Claire. They have a billboard. And again, just your basic small gas station, but a billboard that they can update remotely. And it said $2.99.
Well, what?
I know. It wouldn't matter if the car needed, you know, 2 tablespoons of gas. We were going to stop there just so you could pay $2.99 at some point. But again, you know, plenty of campers, you know, RVs were lined up in there as well. It's something that people definitely pay attention to because it is so crazy volatile out there.
I get it if you're putting like a ton of gas in your car, like if you've got a big truck. But for me, my tank is not that big. So an extra dime a gallon doesn't really, it's like the cost of a cup of coffee. Mm-hmm. So I'm not really that picky. I'm more like, oh, there's a gas station. That seems reasonable.
Yep. we've avoided some of the news that I said. Again, there may not be much happening with it, but let's go ahead and touch on these things for just a second here, especially the childcare one, where, as I noted late Friday, Devin Lemieux, the Senate Republican leader, basically scrapped Evers' entire bill and said, well, in its place, we're going to pass a tax cut, mostly toward the very wealthy or the very, you know, high six-figure incomes. And, you know, some of it will trickle down. A few middle-class families will enjoy it. And then we'll throw some extra money at parents who want to put their kids in private schools. And I think the only reaction, it was somewhat, Governor Evers' spokesperson had a similar reaction that was on the lines of, this is not serious, and are you kidding me?
Well, you can tell who he's talking to when he keeps saying tax cut, tax cut, tax cut. You know, they're not talking to childcare providers. They're not talking to parents who need childcare, who understand what the problem is. They're pandering to their base. And that's really what Republicans are good at, is pandering to their base, not actually solving problems. That's why we need a change in leadership in this state in the worst way. And, you know, as you were saying earlier, Pat, if you're thinking about running for office, now's the time to really get serious about it because, man, Yeah, it's that constant pressure that we need to keep on our leaders so that we can change the course of the state and make it the state that really Wisconsin is, progressive, forward-thinking community building.
One more thing, and that is on the continued Republican battle to pick from amongst themselves a House Speaker. And I know it was Wednesday or Thursday that Mike Gallagher's name from Green Bay was floated, and it was floated for about 15 minutes, and then nothing else came of it. If that doesn't scream somebody putting up their own name as a trial balloon, I don't know what does.
Well, I mean, what else are they going to do right now? Jim Jordan is leading the pack? Come on.
No. So they're scheduling a vote for tomorrow afternoon. Whether it actually pulls off remains to be seen. It's something that we'll have updates on throughout the week here on Up North News Radio. But we will also update you on this day in history, this day in music, that and so much more coming up with Kristen Lyerly and more right after this on Up North News Radio. On this day in 1976 that Stevie Wonder's Songs in the Key of Life hit number one. Just a landmark album by Stevie Wonder. Isn't She Lovely? It was one of the many tunes on there, and really is something that should be in everybody's library in one form or another. Selena Heller from Up North News is with me, and Kristen Lyerly as well. Selena, how are you?
Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, Pat.
No, that's Whisker's bushy-tail. That is, again, in the picture here.
That is true.
What is... Yeah, you don't have to pick up the cat and wave the tail at me, Selena. I believe you. Let's see. We've got a couple of historical notes. Marie Antoinette lost her head this day in 1793. And on this day... Yeah, you know, you talk about a bad day, you know.
Not bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
No. In 1916 on this day, Margaret Sanger opened the first family planning clinic in the United States. And people would say, Kristen, 1916? What were they doing back then for family planning? And again, it's all of information is power.
Oh, man. Yeah. Margaret Sanger, what a game changer. And we're still fighting for it.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's because in part, while we like to think that from time to time we take things seriously, like our bodies and our health and everything else, other times we are distracted by other things going on in the world. For example, while the number one album this day in 1976 was Stevie Wonder's Song in the Key of Life, here was the number one single this day in 1976. I have not double-checked this statistic yet, but there have been other novelty songs since then. But the one page I looked at, and I need to confirm it, this is apparently the last novelty song that actually went to number one. And in the 70s, there were a lot of novelty songs. There was The Streak, and there was, you know, all manner of things. But Disco Duck was not one of my favorites from that era.
I appreciate your commitment to the data. Like, I have to check to make sure that this was the last novelty song that was number one.
You know, I appreciate that you understand the sense of journalism that I bring into this.
The research.
Yeah, it's about the research.
So I had a group of friends. We performed in high school Ray Stevens' "The Streak" in a lip sync.
How do you mean performed? What do you mean?
Tell us more.
Singing.
So I was. Okay. Yes.
Okay. Yep. Sure.
And we went all over like any kind of lip sync contest, and we did "The Streak."
Well, Kristen, jot this one down for when we eventually do Up North News Radio, the live show. The live stage show. All right.
I got it. Put Selena down for the streak. Done.
On this day in 1978, Cardinal Karol Wojtyła was elected to the papacy and he would take the name Pope John Paul II, becoming the first non-Italian pontiff since 1523. The Million Man March took place this day in Washington, D.C. In 1995. Another birthday. Happy birthday, 61st birthday to Michael Peter Balzari. You know him better as Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. His nickname was originally Mike B. the Flea from his manic energy as he was always jumping around stage with the Red Hot Chili Peppers. To show the generation gap, now, Red Hot Chili Peppers, not quite in my wheelhouse, but I sure know Fred Turner from Bachman Turner Overdrive, and he turns 80 years old today. Bob Weir, founding member of the Grateful Dead, 76, born on this day in 1947. It is Bryce Harper's birthday as he gets set for Game 1 of the National League Championship Series. The hitting star for the Philadelphia Phillies will be in Philly for Game 1 on this, his 31st birthday. Pretty cool.
Aww.
Yeah. I've mentioned before, I'm a big Bryce Harper fan. I followed him when he was with the Washington Nationals, when he was just one of those prospects that people were keeping their eye on, that I just always have, you know, stayed mindful of, and so I'm rooting for him in the National League Championship Series.
Good birthday celebration.
Yeah. Now, at the complete opposite end of birthday celebrations, and I wrote this up on Friday when I noted that today was going to be Suzanne Summer's 77th birthday, but she passed away over the weekend. Yep, Suzanne Summer's 76 years old, passing away over the weekend. Three's Company, again, say what you will about it, it was groundbreaking TV at the time in the 70s, maybe for some of the wrong reasons, you know, for sexist reasons and all of that. But it's to say that Suzanne Summers was there when TV really moved on from, shall we say, the Andy Griffith era to the disco, you know, super 70s kind of era.
I remember when she left and what a controversy it was. And I had no idea. I was just reading yesterday that she asked for a raise. Mm-hmm. She wanted to be paid as much as John Ritter. And they were like, no. So they replaced her instead. And yeah, she made like a fifth of what John Ritter made.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was an early stand where, again, as often happens, that early on, people lose. But as more people stand up for their rights or for fairness, a lot of people stand on Suzanne Summers' shoulders, you know, as a result of better, if not total, pay equity in the business. I got another.
And they can, because she has very strong legs because of the Thighmaster.
See, I was going to go for the Thighmaster joke, and I went with standing on her shoulders instead. She can have those people on her shoulders because of her very strong thighs. It was wrong for me. It worked for you. So thank you for the assist on that.
See how this all comes together?
I know. It works for us. Let's see. Happy 46th birthday to John Mayer, born this day 1977 in Bridgeport, Connecticut. Are we John Mayer fans?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we are?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know, but with him
genius
being an ex, you know, Swiftie or whatever, if that affected anything.
Well, that eliminates a lot of people.
Yes, it does. Creedence Clearwater Revival called it quits this day in 1972, saying, "We don't regard this as breaking up. We look at it as an expansion of our activities." The band never formed again, but John Fogerty emerged with a successful solo career. And on this day in 2012, Darius Rucker was inducted into the Grand Ole Opry, just the third African-American to join the club after DeFord Bailey and Charlie Pride, who was inducted in 1993. So a very, very varied day here in music and history. Celine is going to stick around with us, and we're going to talk about some of the stories she's covering from Up North News and more of the headlines. Kristen actually has a day job and so is going to take off, but we will see you Thursday for Hometown Health.
Yeah, we're going to talk about breast health because, you know, this is Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Good. Well, that will be coming up 7:30 on Thursday. So take it easy out there. Safe travels. And we'll talk to you in a couple of days here.
Sounds great.
All right. Thanks, Kristen. Celine and I will be back right after this. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin, when you're here, you're up north, and we'll be right back.